The gospel is from the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever it is you wish, and it will be done for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Jesus said, I am the true vine. It's the last of his seven I am statements. It's the second window over here. But as with all of the other I am statements, Jesus is painting a picture for those who are listening to him. Vines grow all over the Holy Land, all over Palestine. And the thing about vines is they require a lot of tending. They require an awful lot of attention. But throughout the Old Testament, Israel is identified as the vine. In fact, the vine was so important to them that for a period of time, there was a vine on their coins. And for a long time, there was a huge vine made out of gold that decorated the gates to the temple. God spoke much about his choice vine, Israel, and how he gave them everything they needed to prosper, to grow, and to bear fruit. But as time wore on, the only fruit that the vine of Israel produced was wild grapes. But we know that when Jesus comes, everything changes. Whether it was then or whether it's when he comes into our hearts and our lives, when Jesus enters in, everything changes. If we would go backwards just before the verses that Kyle read, the very tail end of John 14, we would see that Jesus says to those who are with him in the upper room, come, let us now go. So they have finished the Last Supper. They're on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus continues to teach. And these words that Kyle read most likely happened when they had entered into the Kidron Valley, which is just south and east of the city of Jerusalem. The valley is full of vines. And so when they got there, Jesus maybe stopped, and he looked at them and he said, I am the true vine. Everything would have come to a screeching halt, because what Jesus has just said to them is, I have replaced Israel as the true vine, the one and only vine of God. Now, everyone who grows from this vine will be of the same stock. So whether you're one of the 12 disciples, whether you're Paul or Timothy, whether you're one of the early church leaders or any one of us today, if we are connected as branches to the vine of Jesus Christ, we are all from the same stock. It's pretty crazy being of the same stock as Peter and Paul and some of the early church fathers. But what Jesus has really said to them is this: being Jewish, calling Abraham your ancestor will no longer save you. What he's saying for us today sometimes is hard to hear. Just being a nice guy or a nice gal will not save you. Being a good person isn't the way that we get to heaven. And doing good things just to try to earn our way, well, that won't save us either. The only thing that will save you and I is to have an intimate, direct connection, a relationship to the one true vine, Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the one vine. We are the branches. Simply coming on Sunday and sitting in the pew because that's what we've always done, or because that's what we think we're supposed to do, that will not save us. If we don't have a personal relationship with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, we are not saved. You've already heard some of our students talking this morning. And I have to tell you, those of you that wonder what happens when you pull a tag off of the giving tree for a summer camp, or there have been some of you that have sponsored a retreat or a camp, this is the fruit of that. So when we ask for prayers and we say we covet prayers, we mean it, because amazing things happen when this family of believers invests in the lives of our children and our youth. And so you've heard some of them, but there's more to listen to. So the thing is, Kyla talked about 1 Timothy 4:12. There's five things: love, faith, purity, speech, and conduct. I don't think that's the order. That's how I remember them. And when you take those five things and you mix them together with the fruits of the Spirit, one of the things that rises to the top is love. So this is what Fude has to say. He says, love is a hard topic for me to grasp. I understand the meaning and the different ways it can be found, but giving myself up and remaining powerless is a hard thing for me to do. My ego and the fact that I don't want to get hurt sometimes gets in the way of me giving myself to God. Fude, you're not the only one that struggles with that. And then he says, God speaks to us all the time. It's just that listening is a problem. Sometimes, Fude says, I can be distracted. What has helped me get past this are the deep discussions that happen in the steel building. I am so focused, he says, in my world, I believe every time I step into the steel building was created by God. I believe every time I step into the steel building, I get better and better. So we talk about studying, we talk about worshiping, we talk about praying. That happens in the steel building every time we gather. But for those of us who don't have a chance to gather in the steel building, studying and worshiping and praying are always that we connect to the true vine. They're always that we abide. And when we choose to abide in Jesus Christ, the more we abide in him, the more we become like him. And the more we spend time with him, the more we grow away from who we were and into who it is that God would have us be. And so if we choose to abide, then we set aside the things that we think that we ourselves can do to derive strength, to derive merit. And we rest solely in Jesus Christ, and we draw the things that we need from him. So you think about plants that grow, vines, branches, and there's sap that runs in all of those plants. But think about Jesus the vine, we the branches. The sap that runs is the Holy Spirit. Because when we abide in Jesus Christ, we produce fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Excuse me. So I want to show just really quick two examples of what it means to abide. One of my best friends eats breakfast every morning with the scriptures. He sits down with his devotional. He sits down with his Bible. And as he eats his breakfast, he reads God's word. That time is pretty non-negotiable for him. Another of my friends gets up every morning and spends time with his daughter before she goes to school, studying and reading God's word. Just two ways that we abide. There are many more. But the thing is, when we choose to abide, it changes our lives. And so we take what abiding is, we take those five words from 1 Timothy, and we take the fruits of the Spirit. Love, I've said, rises to the top. This is what Jaden says. She says, love is the most powerful feeling anyone can have. And I wouldn't be able to do what I do through love if it wasn't for God. And then she goes on about faith. She says, faith is how we all are able to truly follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Faith is how I got one of my greatest friends to come to this church and see life through a different perspective, which eventually changed her. She accepted Jesus, and she's no longer Mormon. More words about love, this time from Anna. She says, I love all of my friends and my family, but I love God more than I could ever love anybody else. And if I didn't know God, I wouldn't know love, because God is love. Most of the students in their papers used some of the same words that Jesus used, except they made them their own. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. That theme has run through these nine papers. But the thing is, when we decide to abide, that means that we follow a different path. We don't follow the path that we have set for ourselves. We follow the path that God would have us follow. It's a path of listening. It's a path of obeying. And so we talk about becoming a disciple of Jesus. And when we talk about becoming a disciple, that simply means that we are learning to be like him. That we abide in him, and the more time we spend with him, the more we become a disciple, the more we become like him. And so the question is asked as we listen and learn, what is God saying to you? And as we continue to grow, the second question that's asked is this: what are you going to do about what God is saying to you? Because the path that we follow is one of observing. It's one of following. Jesus walked a path of obedience before us to give us an example of how that is to be done. And now he calls us to come and follow him in the same way. And it requires us to be humble. It requires us in humility to say, I can't do this, but in him I can do all things. Now, we can do plenty of things that require time and energy and effort, but things that last, things that will go into eternity, we can only do those if we're connected to him, if we are abiding in him. Those things we can't do without his leading and without his faith. And so Kyle knows that leading. Kyle knows that faith. In fact, this is what he says. He is comforted by the fact that he has faith in Jesus and that he knows that Jesus goes with him wherever he goes. This is really cool. He says, and we stand out when God speaks through us. But it isn't just that God speaks through us. It's that we speak to others. And when they come to know Jesus, then they in turn speak to more. You see, God can't speak through us and be effective unless we invite him in, unless we make him a part of who we are. But here's the hard part. If we commit to abiding, if we commit to following, to learning, to being a disciple, we will be pruned, I guarantee you. And sometimes it hurts. God prunes away dead wood. Sometimes he prunes away branches that are bearing fruit so that the new branches that grow will bear even more fruit. And here's the other thing about pruning. It doesn't just happen once and we're done. In fact, some of us get pruned over and over and over, it seems, because God wants the best fruit that he can get from each one of us. Sometimes we're pruned because we sin. Sometimes we're pruned because we're already bearing good fruit and God wants even better fruit from us. We can't prune ourselves, but the cool thing about pruning, if there is such a thing, is that we are never closer to God's hand than when he is pruning us. It might hurt, but it will never harm. All of that is done so that there's more fruit that has seeds that will produce even more fruit. And so, if we decide to abide, it doesn't mean that we've signed up for smooth sailing. In fact, sometimes I think the opposite happens. What it means is we've asked God to help us be more fruitful, which brings the pruning. When we ask God to abide with him, we ask to be with him in witness. We ask to be with him in word and in deed, in action and in passion. We ask to be with him in suffering, in joy, in death and resurrection. And all of that brings God great glory. So I want to close today with these words from Lily. And Lily, too, like many of the students, talks about the importance of love. But she spent a big part of her paper talking about what happened in her life when she lost sight of God's love. She says, "But one of my leaders, Emily, retaught me about God's love and told me that no matter how many times I turn my back on him, he will always love me. And there is nothing I can do to make him love me any more or any less." This is how Lily ended her paper. She said, "I love how much I've learned and how much I've grown. And I'm excited to see where I go from now and what else I get to do in God's name." Amen.